Truly, I mean, if 2020 has taught us anything, we have no control over anything. And that's all we can do is cry out to the Lord. And so that's what we did. And so as I began to prepare this and I really began to think back on what God did this summer, it's been amazing. I don't know if the kids are going to agree with this next statement, but I don't think we needed Camp Machindo this year. I think what we needed was COVID, and I think what we needed was the craziness of 2020. Because we've seen Ignite grow closer than they ever have before. And the kids in Ignite have finally, I shouldn't say finally, that was a wrong word, but they've decided that, you know what? Sorry, guys. That's what happens when they give me a mic. They're not surprised, though. But no, you know, the kids in Ignite have taken serious that, you know, the time is short. And that many of their friends that they go to school with, they don't know the Lord, and they need to start sharing the gospel. And so they're holding each other accountable without us even asking them. They're coming to us or they're coming in our group chat and they're saying, you know what, please pray for this person or please pray for that person. And we want to give them the gospel. And then they'll come tell us, I'm like, hey, we got to share the gospel with people. And it's been super encouraging and they're inviting friends. And we've had more friends at, you know, guests at Ignite than we've had in a long time. And simply because they're just taking serious a relationship with the Lord. And so as it turns out, the good news is prayer does work. And so many of us know that, but it's been awesome to see in Ignite. And so we did want to do something with them, and you're seeing we got to go to Camp Buckeye. But, you know, I started looking into camps, and it's hard to plan a camp in 2020. Nobody's open or nobody wants you to come. And so I was just talking to Matt, and he said, you know what? We already had a retreat plan for, you know, the well, and why don't you just take over? So I'm like, sweet, Matt's going to give us his camp. And then he volunteered the well services to help us plan it and help us just do the camp. And so I don't know where the Wellians are, but thank you for that. Because you guys might think, oh, man, that's cool. Matt gave us a cool opportunity to serve. But so many kids told me, man, it was awesome to see the well sacrifice their weekend, the time they were supposed to be having fun, and just come serve us. So thank you for that, well, because you really showed Ignite what the body of Christ is supposed to be like. And that was awesome. But we got to go. We got to play games. Yeah. So we went for 2.5 days. We did camp things. We played games. We worshiped the Lord. And we forgot that there was a virus for 2.5 days. Our middle school went for the day on Friday, and Ignite stayed the whole time. And we didn't know who was going to go or how many we'd have. We were hoping, okay, maybe we get 40. We had 85 kids on Friday. And that was awesome. We were like, holy cow, you know. First few weeks, you know, there was like 12 kids signed up. And we're like, well, this is going to be a small camp. We won't need the well. And then all of a sudden, we had 85 kids, and it was awesome. And Troy came, and he preached 3 messages, and we stuck with the theme of evangelism because our kids were doing so well at it. And, you know, it was awesome to see their response, because a day or two after everyone got back, we're getting in our group chat, be like, oh, hey, I share the gospel with this person, or I share the gospel with this person, or pray for this person. And it was awesome. It's encouraging to see that our kids are just taking evangelism and their walk with the Lord seriously. And so I would just ask you guys that just please pray for them, because it is 2020, and some of the kids have went back to school. I think Philly goes back tomorrow. Dover someday will go back. We're not sure when they're going back. Sorry if you're from Dover, but it's kind of true. And so this is an uncertain year, but this is going to be a year where they're going to be able to share the gospel with their friends, because people are listening. People are scared. And so please pray for them. Pray that they continue to take their walk with the Lord seriously. Pray that they'll have open doors. You know, we have a girl who just invites like 6 friends every week, and they haven't came. And then she keeps inviting them, and she keeps inviting them. But she needs prayer, and all our kids need prayer. And I know God's going to do great things, and it's not because we're special. It's because it's who he is, and it's what he does. And so just please pray for our kids. And so now Miss Nia Wolford is going to come up, and she's going to tell you a little bit about the summer and about the camp.
Hey everyone, so as Josh said, my name is Nia Wolford, and I am a senior in high school this year. Since I moved up into Ignite as a freshman, I've always gotten to see God just working in and through Ignite, and that's always been super cool, and he really worked, like, especially during the summer, during things like church camp. And I can honestly say I have never seen him work so much in and through Ignite since this summer. The growth of Ignite in the past, like, versus now is amazing to see, like, how much he's working this summer through all of the circumstances that we're going through. the summer started out pretty scary, and I know for me personally, that was kind of terrifying to have all of these like unknowns and not really know like where the summer is going to take us, and I'm sure for like a lot of you, it was pretty scary. But God worked through all of that, and I got to see him work through Ignite and work in my friends' lives and work in my life for me personally. It was really amazing to see all of the things he did. There were several places that God was working in this summer, and I'm going to share three of those with you. One of those was just our outreach in general. I have never seen so many guests and new faces in Ignite and like guests that have stuck around and gotten involved. And I have never seen Ignite like reach out so much and invite as many people as we have this summer. And people have stayed and they've gotten involved and we've gotten to keep talking to them and keep like ministering to them and witnessing to more people through all of these circumstances. And that has been absolutely incredible. And another thing that God has been working in was obviously our United Retreat. We didn't get to have our normal summer camp this year, and that seemed kind of disappointing. But God actually used this retreat, I think, more than he's almost ever used any other camp. This year of camp was my favorite camp, and I can honestly say that I had the best time at this camp than I have even at Machindo. And we were not distracted by just different things happening around us. Like, yes, it was fun because we got to have games and hang out with friends, but this camp, we were so focused on not wasting any of our time and making sure that we were reaching out every second we had. And cabin time, where we would talk about the messages that Pastor Troy taught, we would have small groups and we just discuss them. That was the best cabin time I have ever had in like my 5 years of camp. It was the best cabin time ever. And I got so close with people at camp, and it was incredible just to see God working in people's lives. And I do want to thank The Well again, because they gave up their retreat so right. that way we could have our retreat. And not only did they do that, but they came in and they served, and they made food for us. They did worship for us. They played with us. They hung out with us. They spent an entire weekend like with using all of their time so that we could have a retreat. And that was so cool. So thank you guys so much. That was amazing.
Amen.
And then the last place that God was for sure working in was just in all of us sharing the gospel in general. I have never seen Ignite share the gospel, make the initiative like as much as we have this summer. There have been so many people who have just been talking about, like in our group chats, like, hey, I shared the gospel today. I shared the gospel yesterday. I got to talk to this person. And it was incredible just seeing everybody be so diligent in reaching out, because we know that the time is short and we know that we don't have a lot of time left. And so it's been really cool to see that. And one of the verses that God has just shown me over and over this summer is 2 Timothy 1:7, which is, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Amen.
And the world has a lot to be scared of right now, but we don't. We have Jesus, and it's been so cool to see Ignite just be sharing that with others. And then there's one more verse, well, three verses that I would like to leave with you today, and that's Matthew 5:14-16, which says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And I have never seen Ignite take that to heart more.
Amen.
And we have all been super diligent in just inviting people and sharing the gospel and reaching out. And I know that through all of this, through like COVID, through pandemic, and through quarantine, we've all grown so much, and we needed that. And I can honestly say that this is probably the best summer that I've ever had, like, in my life, even through all the circumstances. And so that just goes to show that God's going to work through any of your circumstances, and your circumstances
right.
are not going to dictate your relationship with the Lord and the things that you can do for him.
Amen.
So, thank you.
Amen. Thanks. Great job. Might need to revisit that no women preachers thing. That's some good stuff right there, y'all. Well, praise the Lord, seriously, and thank you all for coming out. What a great day. Every year we look forward to this time of celebration in our church. And like Troy said, there's a lot of things that didn't happen, but there's a lot of things that did. And man, we just are very excited. I think that so too frequently have the wrong perspective. When life isn't going the way we plan, we think it's messed up, but the Lord still has a plan, right? He's not upset. He's not worried. He's not panicking because things aren't going the way he, and of course not. And so our plan, our focus, our desire is just to walk with the Lord wherever he's walking, wherever he's leading us, and whatever he's got for us. And so there were some great things that continued to happen. Now, I'm gonna share with us several things. I've got kind of a good little list of things in the category of missions. Typically, in our church, you guys know that the summer is the time that we take mission trips. And we go different places, and, you know, we would go to New Mexico, and we've done Native American camps, and we had yet another youth camp in Albania scheduled, and of course those were all canceled, and that sort of thing. But there are some things that have happened over the summer that are highly significant that you need to know about. Now, just for time's sake, I'm going to give you a quick latest update on the Horvaths going to Hungary, and we'll hear more from Kale and Brooke as time goes on in weeks to come. But just so that you're aware, if you're not already aware of what's going on in their world, they set the goal to raise all their funds in 1 year. And even with COVID and all the inability from March on to get into churches, God raised all their support in a year, and they're fully funded, and they're ready to go to Hungary. That's a fantastic thing. And so we began to pray and look at how can we get him, you know, the visa necessary to get into Hungary. And it's a long story, really. He was being channeled into the office out of Chicago for the Hungarian consulate, and they're closed down and not working. Make a long story short, Kale inquired through the main office in New York City, and they're still functioning. And so Kale and Brooke have an appointment with the Hungarian consulate on September 17th to appear in person and have their interview and hopefully get all the things taken care of to get their visa to move into Hungary. So that's happening in just a few weeks, so keep that in your prayers. Among the requirements that the Hungarian consulate requires, it's kind of a weird catch-22. You have to already have plane tickets. You have to already have a home to prove to them, so they give you a residence visa, and we would think we need to get approved before we get those things. But we're stepping forward in faith, and so we've already purchased tickets. I think it's November 14th, is that right, Kale? Tentatively, the 18th. So they're changeable tickets, they're insured, so we were thinking there. And so 2 months, because they said it'll take up to 2 months to get your visa approved. So we just picked 2 months out from the interview date, and we're going with that. And he's looking at houses online to pick something that, and by the way, there's some nice houses to look at in Budapest. So praise the Lord for that. But sight unseen, they're just gonna pick something. And but the latest thing that just popped up, and this is again an issue of prayer, we need to be rallying around him in prayer continually, is that the Hungarian government just came out with word that that country is doing very well with COVID. The numbers are going down almost to zero. And they're a little worried about everybody else's countries not doing so good. And so they have temporarily stated that as of September 1st, no foreigners are allowed in Hungary. But we're just going to pray through it, y'all. We've prayed through a lot of things, and we're just going to trust the Lord and keep moving forward. The odds are that they get their visa interview and get passed and all that. They wouldn't leave till November anyway. And so just be praying for them. It's a very, very exciting time in our church. And just to think about, with all of these hindrances, that they're still going to get where God wants them to get. And so that's a cool deal, that the latest of which happened throughout the summer. Another issue that was very, very cool, and some people know about this, but a lot of people don't know about this. It was probably about a year and a half ago that First Baptist Church was notified that we became the recipient of a donation from the trust of a lady who attended this church many, many years ago. In fact, so many years ago that we couldn't really find anybody who remembered her. And when she passed away, she left half of her estate to the church. And her name is Janice Pullins, and God bless her faithfulness to the Lord and her desire to see whatever wealth was entrusted to her passed on for the ministry. Half of that was entrusted to us. And the information that we got that she had written in her will, the reason why she wanted to donate to First Baptist Church. The other half was donated to the Tuskegee Valley School District. I believe she was a teacher up there. And was because she was involved in our Bible publishing ministry back in the day. And she was very into that and thought that that was such a worthy thing to do Bible publishing. Well, as soon as we began to receive some of the funds trickled in, we couldn't get it all right away or anything. We just determined that what we need to do to honor her and the Lord, the reason why we're getting this influx of income is because of her love for the Lord through Bible publishing. Well, we don't do Bible publishing anymore. But we felt like we should donate a portion of what she's donated to a Bible publishing ministry. And so there is a church in our fellowship of churches, the Living Faith Fellowship of Churches. It's the Heartland Baptist Fellowship in Harrisonville, Missouri. And Brian Hedges is the pastor there. He's been here with us in Certainty and taught before when we did our prophecy emphasis for Certainty. They do run a Bible publishing ministry. And so I contacted Brian and said, I'm not sure exactly what the total is going to be, but we want to be able to help you out. And Brian was telling me, I said, maybe we can take on a project. If you're going to print Bibles for Ethiopia or wherever you're printing Bibles, maybe we'll take on a project and fund it all together. He said, you know what we really need, Jeff, is we need to purchase a digital printer and so that we can run small batch production runs of the scriptures. In other words, when they run full Bibles, they usually are running tens or thousands at least, if not tens of thousands of copies. So they hook up with large printing ministries like Bearing Precious Seed and places like that. And they print the paper for them, and then they cut and collate and bind and do all of that in the church, and they have the equipment to do that. But he said, for example, if Cale's going to Hungary and he just wants 500 Bibles or 500 Johns and Romans, for example, we don't really have a way to do that because those big ministries don't print small quantities. If we had a digital printer, which is just the way I think of it, forgive me, is just a really super nice copy machine. It's way better than that. But a digital printer can run small batches. And I said, well, you know, what does one of those things cost? And he said, well, you know, if we got something new and it had all the bells and whistles, it would cost about $50,000. I was like, oh, okay. Well, there's a business you ought to be in. He said, but we've been hunting around, you know, we don't have that kind of money. We've been hunting around and we found one that's used and it doesn't have all, it has a bell and a whistle. And it costs $16,000. And I said, well, there's good news for you because our leadership team has prayed and we've determined that we want to give you $20,000. And so our church has sent a check for $20,000 to Word First Publishing, a ministry of Heartland Baptist Fellowship in Harrisonville, Missouri. And as a result, I have a letter from Pastor Brian to you all, to all of us, where he says, Pastor Jeff, greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to thank you, the leadership, and the congregation of First Baptist Church in New Philadelphia for the generous donation to Word First Bible Publishing. It was providential as we have identified a new full-color press that will meet the needs of the ministry and will be purchasing it within the next 30 days. We would not have been able to consider a purchase this soon if God had not used your generosity to supply the need. We thank the Lord for your heart for God's word and God's people. May God richly bless you and the congregation of First Baptist Church in New Philadelphia as you minister God's word to the peoples of the world. Eternity will reveal the great impact you will have on getting the word of God into the hearts and the hands of the people all over the earth. All my love in Christ, Pastor Brian Hedges, Heartland Baptist Fellowship. So be in prayer for that ministry. It's exciting to think that as a result, this church can be a part of many scriptures that will go out in many languages in many countries around the world as a result of, well, what God brought to us, freely you've received, freely give. And just so you know, that $20,000, it's a tithe, really. It's about 10% of the total that we received. So we were thrilled to be able to do that and felt like it was the only right thing to do before the Lord to do something like that. So that happened this summer. That was a cool deal. Another thing that happened that is sort of bittersweet, and it certainly starts off a little bit bitter. Now, many of you recall back in March, just before the COVID thing broke out, we were able to have our annual missions conference, our Reach conference here, that ended like 1 week before the whole thing hit and everybody started to shut down. And when we had that Reach Conference, among the missionaries that we invited here was Brandon Smith. Brandon, if you'll remember, is a single gentleman that's been in Morocco for over 10 years, and our church decided to take on Brandon and to support him and his ministry. And Brandon's been a friend of mine for years. He's sent out of the church that I was sent out of in Decatur, Alabama. And Brandon very unexpectedly passed away this summer. And a lot of you knew about that. I assume, which was a heart attack. It's actually unknown. His parents never did have an autopsy done. His parents are faithful Christian people. They just figured, why bother? What difference does it make? He's not here. The Lord knows, and we'll just praise the Lord anyway, in the good times and in the bad. So Brandon isn't with us anymore, and that is very sad. His home church, Decatur Baptist Church, pastored my dear friend and this church's friend, Pastor Joe McCaig, has decided that they want to set up a ministry intern scholarship fund. And they want to fund this for ministry interns, young men and women who want to get into vocational ministry, to be able to take them on for like a six-month or a year-long internship. And they want to do it in Brandon Smith's name and in his honor. And so the Brandon Smith Ministry Intern Fund, Scholarship Fund, I told them that First Baptist Church wants to donate to that too. So we took 1 year's worth of what we would have supported Brandon for a whole year and gave that to Decatur Baptist Church to help out the Brandon Smith Scholarship Fund. So with that, can I just say, man, thank you for your faithful giving. In fact, with that, I also have a card of thanks from Burgess and Angie Smith, which are Brandon's parents. Brandon was an only child. Where she said, "Dear church family, thank you so much for contributing to the Decatur Baptist Mission Fund in memory of Brandon Smith. He truly was blessed by his time with you in your mission conference. We pray the Lord will call many more to share the gospel around the world in Christ, Burgess and Angie Smith." So, man, you know, things, again, don't always go the way we think, but man, the Lord has a plan. And for whatever reason, Brandon gets to rejoice in the presence of the Lord right now, and we have to carry on down here. But more people will be able to carry on learning ministry through this internship at Decatur Baptist Church. So that's a cool deal. So, again, Albania trip canceled. New Mexico trip canceled. Normal youth camp canceled. But we got an opportunity to move forward and to consider the planning of a new church in Columbus, Ohio. And this is what we want to talk about for the remainder of the morning. This is a very exciting time for us. And to bring you all up to speed, allow me to just take a few minutes and kind of give you the history of how God worked to get us to this point where we're at right now. I look back in my archives, it was almost exactly 3 years ago today. Actually, the date was September 3rd, 2017, where I preached a message from this very pulpit where I laid out to you my personal vision to reproduce ourselves in other areas within the United States. Ever since I've been your pastor, we've talked about international missions and going to the nations, and that's great. I'll never apologize for that, but I felt like we haven't talked enough about the opportunities that we have right here in the States. And so that led to a trip that I had planned the very next month in October of 2017. I took a trip to Santa Fe, New Mexico, which ultimately led to our ministry beginning to do those children's camps with the Native American kids in a pueblo outside of Santa Fe with Pastor John Romero there in Ascent Bible Church. And that's something we did for the last couple of summers, and we would have done again this summer. But it also included, as a result, the prayer to see a like-minded church, a church that believes the doctrine that we believe, that has the philosophy of ministry that we believe. We commonly refer to ourselves as the Living Faith Fellowship, but whether somebody knows that title or not, somebody that understands the necessity of personal evangelism and biblical discipleship and training of leaders and reproduction of churches and taking the gospel to the ends of the world and just church reproduction. It also included a prayer that we would have a like-minded church in the five largest cities of Ohio. And so, you know, as we prayed about those things, the first one mentioned, and always the first one mentioned, is the largest city in Ohio, and that's the capital city of Columbus. And so it was just a matter of prayer. It was just something that was talked about from time to time. It was something that a lot of you had heard about. We covered it in our prayer meetings when we had our monthly prayer meetings and that sort of a thing. By the new year, by the end of 2017 and January of 2018, by faith, we decided that we would begin to contribute some funds. I mean, at the end of the day, you need to put your money where your mouth is. If you're really, and I love the term, bought in to something, well, then you're going to start putting money towards it. And so by faith, I believe a budget is a statement of faith anyway. We're going to budget towards something because we believe God's going to do it. And we'll see where it's going to go. And so by faith, starting in January of 2018, we began an account to set money aside if God ever opened the door for us to do something in Columbus, Ohio. And, you know, nothing specific happened for a while. And that went on for a couple of years. In fact, a couple of years and change until Memorial Day weekend of this year. It actually was May 24th. That was a Sunday this year of Memorial Day weekend when my friend and pastor Brett Bartlett asked me if I wanted to join him to go to Columbus. He was going to teach an evangelism strategy to a family that used to be a part of his church, and they were in Columbus, and they were frustrated trying to find a good church home and whatnot, and Brett was working this evangelistic strategy through his church that they call Phalanx, where you leverage relationships with people that you know and work intentional gospel communication through it. And so Brett came down and he brought Eric Brown, who at one time had been his associate pastor at the church there, and they, for the next several weeks, began to teach this evangelism strategy. In fact, next weekend, we're going to have Eric Brown here with us, and he's going to talk more about that, and he's going to talk about how God is calling him to the country of Ireland. We'll get to that next week. But Brett was just going to help the Hennings, the family from his church. They were just going to meet in their living room. And when, I don't know exactly how this happened, but word got out and Pastor Mark Trotter heard about it. And he's like, I know a whole bunch of people in Columbus that would love to hear something like that. And so he asked Brett, he said, would you mind if some of my friends, he's got a lot of friends, some of my friends showed up, you know, we could record it and, you know, it'd be a great resource or whatever. And Brett's like, yeah, sure, whatever. And anyways, it turned out very quickly there was going to be far too many people. I mean, I've been to Michael's house. It's a real nice house, but you're not fitting 50-plus people in his living room. So we ended up holding these meetings in a barn on the south side of Columbus. I don't exactly know what it is with First Baptist and barns, but praise the Lord. And at that time, there was over 50 people that showed up in this barn. And it was an exciting time, and we began to realize that there's a possibility that this thing could turn into a church that could believe and teach and stand on the same values that we hold. And we thought, well, this is an important deal. So Brett and Eric did their thing. It lasted for 4 weeks, and then on June 21st of this summer, we from First Baptist Church, we kind of took over the initiation of regular Sunday evening Bible studies. So there's been a group of us every Sunday that have driven to Columbus in the afternoon, held a Bible study in the evening, and then most of the times would come back later that night. And so we made the trip back and forth, and throughout that time, we just prayerfully were asking God to do something. It was a step of faith. We don't know who's going to go to Columbus and lead this effort. We don't know how it's all going to take form. We just felt like it's time to do something. And one of the things I've said among our leaders a lot, and maybe some of you have heard me say this before, with the onset of 2020 and all the craziness that's gone on, and the possibility of the soon coming rapture and all of these things that we've studied here in the past, I made a conscious effort in my mind throughout the spring and into the summer of this year that I'm going to shift the strategy of what I do in ministry from playing chess to playing checkers. In other words, if you've ever played chess, you usually stare at the board for a while and you think out 3, 4, 5 moves in advance if you can before you move one piece. And I've always tried to be very careful and not do dumb things, and I fail sometimes, but I try and think it out, and you move at some slower pace. I just decided, well, if the end's coming and if the devil's pushing all his chips, you know, into the center of the table, let's just play checkers. If there's a checker out there to jump, let's just jump it. And so I realized that that could be considered reckless, but we decided to do it. And I'll be honest with you, after having done it and this our experience in Columbus, I feel a little guilty, like we should have been playing checkers a long time ago, y'all. I feel like we could have been trusting the Lord even more and believing that he could have taken it up for us, you know. Nevertheless, we were prayerfully asking God to ultimately give this thing form. We met in the barn for a few weeks. We met in a hotel for a little while. Now we're meeting in a church in Westerville, and that's quickly coming to an end, actually. We need to find a new location soon enough. We've been given notice that before September's over, we got to get into a new place. So be praying with us about the right location, the right price tag that goes with that. We need God's help locating us exactly where we need to be. But we have no fear. He's going to do exactly what he needs to do. So here we are today. Next weekend is Labor Day. We started a Memorial Day. One summer's effort. That's all. Just one summer's effort. And we are well on our way to establishing a like-minded church in Columbus, Ohio. Just that quick. So this literally is the answer to years of prayer on our part, right? And it is the beginning of the fulfillment of a God-given vision to see things happen. And so if you all haven't recognized yet, we have many of our friends and brothers and sisters from Columbus here with us. So if you're from Columbus and you came here today, would you just stand up real quick so our church can rejoice with us? Fantastic. Thank you all so much. And if you didn't notice, so it was Lydia Haywood was our harpist today that was joining the worship team, and she's from Columbus as well. That's fantastic that she could join us. Before we go any further into this, I do want to now let you hear from them. So we've asked two of them to come and to share their testimony, and so we're going to start with Alex Yoder. So Alex, come on up, and then when Alex is done, Naomi Roberts is going to come. So when Alex is done, Naomi, just come up directly after him. So let's welcome Alex, and then Naomi will come up after him. It should be on. Yeah. Let's take a look at it. Yeah, you're good.
All right. Good morning.
Good morning.
As Jeff mentioned, my name's Alex Yoder. I'm here with my wife, Jess, and our three kids. And I'm really thankful that Jeff gave me the opportunity to get up here and share with you guys this morning, because the church plant in Columbus is a really big deal for our family personally and for a lot of friends that I have with us today. And I want to start by saying this church has had an impact in my life for years now, whether you guys know it or not. I have been the recipient of a lot of your guys' ministry. I've been here for the Certainty Conference, and I'm very close with Mark Trotter and his ministry as well. And so thank you for continuing to extend your blessing down to us in Columbus with this church plant. And our story particularly is really just a story of God's provision. Proverbs 16:9 says that a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Amen. And it's no doubt that that verse rings true for us as it pertains to our family and this church plant. And so our story kind of goes like this. We began to see the need for a church in Columbus about 4 years ago. And the need was really based off of a few factors. My wife and I wanted to be a part of a church that preached expositionally, that placed a premium on biblical discipleship and was correct dispositionally. And so as I began to search around town for churches that checked all these boxes, what I found is there wasn't any churches that were checking all the boxes, especially when it came to discipleship. Every church that I researched, I found something off about doctrinal statements or mission statements. And if they had discipleship, it was something totally different than what I've ever been told discipleship was. And so it was around this same time that God really started to grow my own desire for the ministry, and it wasn't long until I found out about LFBI. And preparing for ministry, I enrolled. So as I began to get to know different people within the Living Faith Fellowship, what I realized that there was a bunch of folks in my area that were looking for a church that checked all these boxes as well. And so as I'm getting familiar with the Living Faith Fellowship and I'm starting to understand their vision for the local church, what I began to realize is what we really needed was a Living Faith Church in Columbus.
Yeah.
And so we began to pray about it. And we prayed and we prayed and we prayed. And we were praying that God would open the door for there to be a church planted in Columbus out of the Living Faith Fellowship. And I can only speak for myself personally, but I probably prayed for this for about 3 years, which lines up really well with your timeline. So after 3 years of praying and nothing really moving on that front, I started to consider that maybe we needed to relocate to a different part of the country to be a part of a Living Faith Fellowship church. And I had seen many of my friends that I have been making within the fellowship do this very same thing. And so I thought maybe that's what we needed to do. Maybe we needed to relocate to a different part so we can be a part of a good church. And so it wasn't long until me and my family, we were on the verge of putting our house on the market to move across the country just so we can be a part of a church that checked all these boxes and emphasized the things that we felt were important. That's how serious it was for us. And so as we're preparing, we literally had one step to go to put our house on the market. We had a realtor that was helping us. We had potential jobs lined up, and we even had a realtor in the area that we were looking to move. And the way that God kept us right where we were at in Ohio was by bringing my mother-in-law back to Ohio from North Carolina. And she had been there for 13 years and out of the blue decided it was time to come home. And because of this, we felt like we needed to stay right where we were too. And so the story goes on. I'm in Israel for LFBI, and out of the blue, a church from Pennsylvania emails me and asks me about the potential of becoming their next youth pastor. And so I began to wonder if this was the reason God was keeping us from moving the first time. And so after talking with my wife, we decided just to follow through with the interview process, and it actually came down to me and one other candidate. And what happens is God closes that door too. This church was in Pennsylvania, and he kept us in Ohio. And I was wondering, God, what are you doing? You won't let us out of Ohio. We were trying so hard, and he wouldn't let us go. But this is what I did know, that before we decided to move across the country and before we decided to move to Pennsylvania, we prayed for a church plant. And he was keeping us where we were because he was about to answer our prayers. And just because we had changed our focus didn't mean that he changed his plans. So in May, I got a text message to a group of us that there was going to be a church planted in Columbus. And that following Sunday, my family and I were in a barn in South Columbus with Jeff and Troy and Matt and a bunch of other people, and it was that night that the process began for there to be a church plant in Columbus. And immediately when I got that text message, I knew that God was answering prayer, and I had zero hesitation. I knew that we were going to be a part of this church plant. And like I said, our story is really just a story of Proverbs 16:9. We were making tons of plans, but God was keeping us right where we were.
Amen.
And so now we get to be a part of this church plant in Columbus, and I couldn't be more excited. There is no hesitation on our part, and we're 100% confident that God is all over this. And through this, what I have come to appreciate is closed doors, because those closed doors kept us right where we were.
Yeah, amen.
And God was getting ready to do something that we had asked him to do.
That's good.
And so for what it's worth to you, maybe there's closed doors in your life. Embrace them.
Right.
Because God could be using those to keep you where he is so he can do something right where you're at. And I have known these guys, Jeff and Matt and Troy, at a distance for years because of LFBI. And now it's amazing to think I get to work with you guys to plant this church in Columbus and see God bring this vision together. And it's just amazing to see how the Lord is working. And like I said, First Baptist continues to impact my life in Columbus. So I look forward to it. And I look forward to being, by extension, a part of this church now. So thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I'm Naomi Roberts, as Jeff said. I want to say thank God for closing the doors, because I'm thrilled that the Yoders are going to be staying here in Columbus. And thank you for playing checkers. Oh, Well, it's just a privilege to be here this morning, and I've already met a lot of you folks that have been coming down to Columbus the past several weeks. It's really been exciting, and I'm just so anxious to meet more of you today as we're fellowshipping and celebrating together. Being here is just really a great opportunity to thank you all for your commitment and thankfulness to loving God and loving others through this church plant in Columbus. There's no doubt, as you've heard, that the prayers of a lot of us are being answered, and it's just been an amazing summer to watch how he's taking all these individual prayers and piecing them together. It's mind-boggling, and it's all been about 3 years. So I've just been privileged to be part of this. I first met Mark Trotter back in 2014, and I imagine most, if not all of you, know him. And if you do, probably love him every bit as much as I do. His deep spiritual teaching just really filled me up and mesmerized me. I'd never heard teaching like that before, and I was just hooked, completely hooked. So on Wednesday night, Word Strong classes would come up, and we'd just be ready to go every Wednesday night. Well, the only problem was, driving home every night on Wednesdays, I was disappointed because they only lasted an hour, and I wasn't ready to be done yet. I'd get home, wouldn't be able to go to sleep that night, pull my Bible out and get back into it because it was just so rich and deep and exciting. Well, the blessing of his teaching lasted for a few years, and during that time, I really grew in my understanding of Scripture, which helped me grow in my relationship with the Lord. And then God called Pastor Mark to go somewhere else. Of course, then I realized even more how much my soul just feasts on and appreciates that deep, deep expository preaching and rightly dividing the Word and comparing Scripture with Scripture. Yeah. Amen, Sue. Oh, so I continued my learning through 52 weeks of Pursuit and the Keys of Bible Study. I have a good friend and I who would do online Word Strong classes, and we're still going through Revelations again. After a while, I started looking at other churches, and kind of like what Alex was saying, everywhere I looked, I just couldn't find a church that was teaching and using that same approach to Scripture that I was just craving and yearning for. Then along came COVID-19 and gave us all that time to just kind of pause and really quietly think about our lives and what direction we wanted to go. Well, I found that God was just moving me along, and more than ever, I was just crying out to him for a church that would really follow his teaching and disciple and prayer its members to save the lost souls before it's too late. In April, I discovered Theology Roundtable. And I was just so excited, I couldn't wait. I called my friend Glenda, shared it with her. We were listening to podcasts all the time, texting each other back and forth and calling each other and just talking about it because we were just overjoyed because we found more teaching that was feeding our hungry souls. And then in May, I was driving in Uptown Westerville. I live in Westerville. I remember exactly the spot that I was in, and I was listening to a voicemail that a friend had left me earlier in the day, and they said that Faith Baptist Church was planning a church in Columbus. So I wanted to jump out of the car and do a little happy dance right there, but obviously I couldn't. I know for a fact that I smiled the rest of that day. What a blessing it's been, this whole process with this church plant. All the men who've come down and shared with us are clearly well-taught, well-educated. Lisa and Rob, who are here with us today, have been talking too about how anybody who has come down and visited with us could easily be the leader of our church, and we would be so excited about it. So as we've been waiting to discover who that pastor might be, we know that whoever it's going to be is really going to be a blessing to us. We've just been drinking in all of this teaching and praising God because, as my friend Shelley said, we've been starving in Columbus. So thank you. Thank you so much for your willingness and desire to grow, equip, and reproduce Christ followers. I even have the joy of one of my three sons and his wife attending church regularly with me now. In the past, they weren't attending church. And I know that if they continue to come, that there's going to be a process for them, that they'll be able to learn and grow and to add to their faith virtue and to virtue knowledge and to knowledge temperance and to temperance patience and to patience godliness and to godliness brotherly kindness and to brotherly kindness charity.
Amen.
So I'll just close with 1 John 5:14-15. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. Praise God.
Amen.
Thank you, Mary. May God bless. That was fantastic. Well, we've made it very clear to the group in Columbus on these Sundays that what we have been doing is not yet a church. In fact, it can't be a church until God calls out somebody to be the leader and to serve in the biblical office of the pastor, to serve as the biblically selected officer of that church. And so we've been praying about this all summer long, and without question, we have worked a short list of candidates that would be qualified. We have many qualified men, but we're working a short list and praying. By the way, to be qualified means to be proven. That's really what it means. So somebody who's completed the academic training, somebody who's an ordained minister of the gospel, somebody who's experienced in ministry leadership, somebody who's proven fruitful, somebody who demonstrates biblical wisdom and balance. So today, I have the joy of announcing to you that God has made his will and his plan clear concerning this need, and that Matt and Jenny Brocker are going to be the pastor of the church in Columbus, Ohio. So, Matt and Jenny, where are you? Come on up. Let's do it. Let's hear from Matt. God bless you guys.
Thank you very much. It has been a wild summer, hasn't it? I'm thrilled to be part of Jeff's Checkers experiment. It's been fun, it's been overwhelming, it's been a fast-paced, yet seemingly forever stuck in the decision-making process and praying for direction and what do I do and how do I know and am I even praying the right questions, and there's been a lot of stuff that's kind of ebbed and flowed back and forth, and God has certainly confirmed to us that this is for us.
Amen.
We are heading to Columbus. We're excited to go. We're sad to leave. We're scared to lead. I mean, there's all kinds of different emotions. I tease a lot of times that I only have one emotion, but, you know, I found that not to be true this summer. There are actually several. I usually just only handle one at a time, so that's just kind of how it's going. I was looking at the calendar. We've been talking about how long this process has been going. You just mentioned 2014. 2014 is the year in June that I came on staff here. And so God really began doing some incredible things, allowing me to serve with and under Jeff's leadership. And I owe you so much. I'm so thankful for the investment that you've made in my life, the opportunities you've given me, the support that you all have provided for our family. I remember that one of the biggest things I was afraid of was overnight, once I said yes to coming here on staff, was that my wife became a pastor's wife. And with that, expectations come. And my kids became PKs. And I can honestly say that we haven't felt that pressure from you all.
Good.
And maybe that's because, you know, I'm just, you know, a goofy engineer from Gradle and you maybe never thought of me any different than that. And I'm fine with that. That's quite fine, because that is who I am. But it's been 6 years, and it's gone by very quickly, and we've had a lot of opportunities to serve in different areas, and it's been exciting. 1.5 years ago, I really felt God doing something inside of me, and I was asking questions that I hadn't asked before. I was thinking things I hadn't thought before. I never would have dreamed that I would be in a position to be a lead pastor. I was thrilled and humbled and honored to be asked to come here and do whatever needed to be done. I sincerely mean that, and you know, should Jeff, you know, reel me back in and say, never mind, we got to do this, I'll do whatever you need me to do. That has been my role here. But God started working in my heart about a year and a half ago, and I had a conversation with Jeff and say, I don't know. I mean, we've had so many different experiences. We've gone through so many different things. We've been in different areas of the church serving, and I feel like God is maybe asking me if I'd be willing to go lead something should the opportunity arise. And so we had that conversation, and he said, thanks for letting me know, and nothing happened, and that was fine, right? And I had that conversation with my wife, and you know, it went sort of like the conversation we had when we started praying about coming on staff, and she didn't quite say, are you kidding me? But it was, you know, this is home. I've been at this church for 20 years.
Right.
I gave my life to Christ right over here. And God has done so much, and our family is here, and you guys are our family. And so for those transitions to even be a conversation is difficult. But we started having that conversation, and I'm not wanting to pick on my wife. She just, this is home. And so we didn't really talk about it much more, but I just started praying. And so gave that some time. And we'll fast forward, and I'll kind of jump back to that. But the summer of 2019 came. Jeff had laid out the vision, like he said. We wanted to expand our like-minded churches, or to plant like-minded churches in the state. And, you know, I don't know how many of you have asked us, but we get the question all the time. Like you guys found out when you're searching for a church, hey, my kid's going to Columbus to college. Where should they go? My aunt lives in Columbus. My brother lives in Columbus. I have to move to Columbus for a job. Where should I go? And we continually came up with the, I don't know, I mean, we'll help you look and we'll pray for you, right? And so what God was doing in our hearts as a church was to move us to plant something. And so in 2019, we had talked in the winter and spring about, man, once summer comes, let's get down there, let's start exploring, let's start evangelizing, let's find a place, excuse me. And what we found was our schedule was slammed here, and we didn't really even know where to start. And so nothing really materialized last year, and that was obviously okay. That wasn't God's plan. And so we just kind of gave it some more time and some more prayer. And then we came up with the same plan this year. I remember discussing it with Jeff. Hey, let's get some of the well folks down there, and let's just go evangelize. Let's go knock on doors. Let's do whatever we got to do to find out if Columbus is the place we need to be going. And COVID happened. And so everything got turned upside down, and so we didn't get a chance to do it again. And then, as he said, you know, everything kind of started happening very quickly at the end of May. I mean, who would have thought that God would do anything like this year,
right,
in the midst of all of these things that are just unknown and unsure and scary? And, you know, I've certainly had those thoughts too, right? I've thought and prayed and honestly in my mind I had decided at one point, my decisions were all over the place, but I had decided at one point I'll just wait until November. Because remember when Jeff said that thing, it's going to get worse, just wait till you see what happens as we approach November. And I was like, oh, I'll just wait until after that and make a decision. And God said, coward. Like, right. I was reading about Joshua and Caleb at the time.
Right.
And God said, did I make a promise or did I not? Are we going or are we not going?
Right.
And so I was like, oh, well, let me put it that way, I guess. I won't wait until November. We'll have to make a decision. Whether the decision is yes or no, we've got to make the decision before it's comfortable for me, was the point that I believe God was making. And very quickly, I just want to share a few things on how God confirmed this to me. Obviously, we don't have time for details, but he was all over the place in all kinds of things confirming this to me. But first of all, the one thing that really helped me tremendously was the short series that Troy did in May. If you guys remember, there was one message particular in particular that he talked about finishing your course. And so I was praying, should I go, Lord? Should I not go? And through that message, God said, you're asking the wrong questions. For now, I want you to answer these questions. I want you to pray through these questions. Have you finished your course where you are? Have you finished doing what I've called you to do where you are right now? And so I had to really kind of shift my focus and my heart, and was like, okay, well, yeah, that's absolutely true. I haven't even thought about that. I haven't thought that way and prayed that way. And so I started doing that, and God really helped me to see, you know, the growth that the well has experienced over these past several years. We've been in there for 3 years and 7 months, almost exactly. I don't attribute that to myself. We've got a great group of young folks that are faithful to the Lord. They love the Lord. But what God had called me to do in there, I had come to understand was just about finished. And I got to tell you, that's heartbreaking because I love that ministry.
Yeah.
So it was confirmed through my course being finished. I've got other responsibilities. I talked to Jeff about those. He said, it's fine, we'll find somebody to do that. Oh, okay. I thought I needed to you're finished. We'll find somebody else to do it. Oh, okay, cool. That was actually very helpful.
Well, I mean, you know.
The other, you know, that transitions into the other confirmation is my leadership. I'm still floored that Jeff ever asked me to come here on staff. I thought back when he invited me to lunch all those years ago that he was going to ask me who I thought he should hire because I'd been here for a while. And I thought, holy cow, what a cool thing that Jeff would consider my opinion. And the question was totally different, and I was like, whoa. Yeah, that's different. And that's when my wife said, you've got to be kidding me. And so my leadership, Jeff and Troy and the other guys that I have the privilege of working with, stated that they believe that God has done in me what is needed for me to go and lead this effort. And I have no confidence in myself. Let me just let you know that. But the fact that they see it takes you to the several accounts in the book of Acts where the Spirit of God says, separate me. How does the Spirit of God separate someone? Through their leadership.
Right.
Right. And so if they see it, I don't need to see it. But praise the Lord, Jeff doesn't lead that way and say, hey, I see it. Pack up and get going. He said, I want you to pray. This is what I'm seeing. This is what I believe God is doing. I want you to pray and let God confirm it to you. And so he did. The other confirmation, or another confirmation, was certainly my wife. And I tease about, you know, how these big decisions have gone in the past. My wife is loving and submissive and has told me over and over and over she would follow me anywhere. And that just, you know, makes my decisions harder because, you know, it'd be easy if I just said, hey, why don't you just decide and when you figure it out, I'll do whatever you want. You know, I'm here for you, babe. But it doesn't work that way.
Right.
But the cool thing in how I've seen it work over and over and over in our marriage is when God's moving me somewhere, if there's any resistance of any kind whatsoever in her life or in the conversation, I can just say, okay, Lord, maybe not. Maybe not now. That's fine. And what I've seen over and over and over again, because she loves the Lord, because she also has faith beyond me and where I mess up, she trusts the Lord, and every single time God has brought her to the place to where I don't have to drag her to Columbus. She just started talking about, well, if God moves us. And I was like, if what? Like, I didn't bring it up. I didn't force the issue, but God was working in her heart to at least Amen. Be like, okay, whatever God does, I know dummy's going to say yes. And, you know, I'm stuck going where he goes because I already said I would, right? And so what God was doing to me and for me was confirming that he is in this.
Right.
And he's in this for us because he's working in her without me saying, you gotta get there, babe. We're going. You just gotta figure it out. I didn't have to do that. I just trust that the Lord's doing something in me. He's going to lead her as well, and we're going to go together, and that's going to be an awesome thing. And then the last thing that he used to confirm is just obviously his word. Right? I had the opportunity to study and preach a couple of times in Columbus, and the opportunity was an opportunity for me to dig through what God has already done and what he's doing in my life and what he wants to do next. And that helped me see that my course was finished in one ministry and that there's just a bunch of awesome people that love the Lord, that love his word, and want to do this Christian life together the way he says we ought to be doing it. And so I am honored and privileged to start this with you. The timeline is just getting started. We'll have more details when we have details, but we're thrilled to be a part of it. To everyone else, again, thank you so much for your investment in my life, my family's life. We will be around for a little bit. I think Jeff may have more details about that, but thank you very much. That's all I've got.
Listen, I hope y'all understand what a big deal this is. And they're going to be around for a while, and we'll have more opportunity to break down details, and we'll have a big celebration when the time comes and when they get closer to being ready to move and a commissioning service. And it's just, that'll be another big party. It'll be fun. But for now, let's just all pray. Let's just pray for the Brockers. Let's pray for the brothers and sisters from Columbus and this infant church that we're seeing take shape. So while I'm praying, the worship team can come up and we'll have one final song. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for all the ways that you bless and guide and lead. And thank you, Lord, for shutting doors. And thank you for opening doors. And thank you for guiding the individuals in the directions that they need to go so that ultimately your glory can be displayed. And Lord, that was our desire today, to put your glory on display, to just rejoice publicly amongst the congregation of the great things that you have and are continuing to do. I just want to pray for the Brocker family. I want to pray for all the things that could be rolling in their minds about what a big move is. They've virtually lived their whole lives here, and Columbus isn't that far, but it's new. And so I just pray for Matt, I pray for Jenny, pray for the kids, and I just pray, Lord, that you would work out every detail. That you would make it smooth, that you would help them to find the home and the school district and all those details that we'll continue to pray about from this day going forward. I want to pray for the brothers and sisters from Columbus, those that had the opportunity to join us here this morning, those that didn't have the opportunity but will be listening.